The government has promised that this time it's serious. Property tax is coming. It will be levied and homeowners will be legally obliged to pay. The Finance Local Property Tax Bill being brought before the Dáil shortly gives new powers to the revenue commissioners to collect that tax. Now, I'm joined in studio by Brian Keegan, Director of Taxation with Chartered Accountants Ireland. He is going to be issuing a briefing later today on the subject to all accountants. So he is the man, the point man on this particular topic to be joining us this morning. Let's talk about the powers of revenue, first of all, Brian. How strong will these powers be?
Well, I think, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, people would have been surprised at just how little power revenue did actually have to make inquiries of taxpayers. Over the years, their powers have been growing and growing and growing. And now they've got very, very extensive powers and they can ask about almost anything. What's interesting for their property tax as far as revenue is concerned is there's three types of people that revenue look at. They look at self-assessed people, that's the self-employed. They look at PAYE workers. And then they look at people who aren't on their records. And this is the key with this new local property tax. For the first time ever, revenue are going to have to focus on people who aren't otherwise on their records. And for that reason, they're going to have new powers, apparently, which will allow them to talk to Bord Gáis, which will allow them to talk to the ESB, which will allow them to talk to Unpost and find out who we are and where we're living.
OK. Why wouldn't people be on the revenue books? Would it be that they're pensionable and therefore if they're on the state pension, they're not paying tax? Would that be the reason they're not on? Or?
It's people who wouldn't necessarily be in receipt of income. That's the bottom line criterion. Almost everything in this country is taxable. Some social welfare benefits are not. Some people are just not in receipt of income, and
but even if I would have thought that you exist for the if you live in this country, if you have a PPS number, and everyone who lives in this country is supposed to have one, that you would be known to revenue. And that's not so.
Not necessarily. The PPS number is a social welfare creation. It's not a revenue creation. Revenue use it as a matter of convenience to help identify us. But there would be people for absolutely perfectly good reasons who are not necessarily in revenue's radar.
And but if you have a few bob in the bank, you pay dirt and the revenue have to know about that because the banks will forward it on your behalf to revenue. Or is it just a blanket payment and it's not identified individually to the revenue as it is paid over by the banks?
We have quite a joined-up system, but it doesn't necessarily follow that everybody doesn't fall into the nooks and crannies of the various aspects of the social welfare system, the various aspects of the tax source system that we have.
OK, so let's presume that they really have good computing powers and they know every house in the land and they assess after a year or so, they're looking at it, all the payments that have been made, and they say, oh, number 24, XY Street, we've no payment for that house. Who lives there? Who owns it? That's what they'll have to do.
That is what they'll have to do. But I think what they're going to have to do in the first instance is they're going to have to try and put some kind of a structure together that might actually work. I mean, the household charge did not work as a tax. I'm not saying
hundreds of thousands of people didn't pay it.
That's correct. There was only about a 70% compliance rate. Now, the household charge, arguably Serviu, Pat, was advertised better than the household charge. There was a lot of confusion about it. People weren't clear how they might have to go and pay it. They weren't clear how they paid it. They weren't clear who's actually liable. And Revenue have started already with an information campaign to try and get it across to people. This is a heavy-duty local property tax. We are after you. We've got the mechanism to collect it. And, you're just going to have to stump up. And already the signals are coming out. I mean, Revenue have taken the unprecedented step of issuing on their website a set of guidelines on legislation that isn't even already passed to give some kind of an indication as to how they're going to chase people.
All right. Now, are they going to send out an assessment to people and say, your house is worth X, therefore your tax is Y?
Not directly. What they're going to do is they're going to send out sometime in March what they're rather coyly calling an information briefing. And that will include details of how the tax is going to be calculated, how you should come to your own valuation. And it will also have what Revenue suspect might be the value of your house by which reference they will use if you don't do anything. So in other words, you'll get a notification from Revenue saying, we think this is what you might be owing us in property tax later on in the year. If you do nothing with that envelope with the Oireachtas harp on it, then that's the valuation they'll use when they're chasing
you. So it's up to you to demur.
Yes, if you do nothing, the valuation which Revenue will assign to you will operate by default. So don't disregard anything that comes in the post in March with the Office of the Revenue Commissioner stamped on it.
Now, they may say numbers 1, 5, 7 and 9 sold last year, this was the price. You live in number 17 and you say, I'll never get that price because the house next door to me was burnt down and no one's repaired it, so it's a burnt out hulk. Or there are antisocial elements living next door to me. I will not achieve the price achieved by 1579. That's, I presume, a reasonable thing to be able to say to the revenue.
Well, valuation is always a tricky issue.
And because it does depend on multifarious things.
It does, of course, but I think the concentration by revenue in the first year, and I don't want to speak for revenue, but my guess would be they'll concentrate on not on the outliers, but on the routine stuff. I mean, revenue have a huge amount of information on property prices by reference to stamp duty information. Yeah. Every time we buy a new property, revenue get a chunk of stamp duty. And that information has gone into the National Property Price Database, which is generally available online.
Yeah, but in fairness to people, I mean, if your stamp duty, I mean, there's no point in looking at stamp duty in 2005 or 6 or 7. You have to be looking to get current valuations. Stamp duty, even at 1% or 2% in 2012. Because that's the market value.
Yes, but first of all, the stamp duty return will have the valuation of the property at the time it was bought or sold. And presumably there's some kind of system of multipliers or demultipliers.
Since
2007, dividers, fractionizers, that will bring down the declared value of a number of years ago back to where it might be now. So that'll be their starting point. And that's part of the idea, too, Pat, behind this notion of bands, that there's effectively this 50,000 leeway to take account
of. So in other words, if 1579 fetched 200,000 and I've got the antisocial people living next door or the burnt out house, there's a 50 grand discount available to me, in theory, within the band, without changing anything else.
In theory, or perhaps more typically, you're the guy with the new double glazing or you're the guy with the new conservatory, which might actually push the value up in comparison with your neighbours down the road.
Because they're trying to encourage people to home improve all the time, to put insulation in. Put insulation in, ups the value of the house. Sorry, I'm not going to bother. Thank you.
Well, that's a policy decision rather than an actual practical decision. I don't think.
No, but I mean, you've got an A rate, B rate, C rate, D rate your house, why would you bother improving on anything if it's going to cost you more in tax? That is a conclusion that some people will draw.
Yes, and as an obvious conclusion, and you can't blame people, and you could use the same argument, Pat. You know, why should I go for the promotion? Why should I go and work very, very hard for the pay rise? Because I'm going to lose so much extra in tax when I do that.
In tax.
It's the same principle.
So anyway, assessment is going to be self-assessed with helpful guidelines from the revenue.
That's revenue are ever helpful in these matters.
Ever helpful in these matters. Now, we know that the initial valuation is valid up to and including the year 2016. That's to give people certainty that they will be able to calculate what they're going to have to pay. However, won't local authorities be able to vary that rate up or down by 15%?
Yeah, that's something that's posited. And again, you know, it has to be said, we're looking at draft legislation here. We're looking at stuff that hasn't been passed through the Houses of the Oireachtas. But the idea is that local authorities will have some small varying of the rate, not on the valuation, but of the rate. So the standard rate is 0.18%. Apparently, local authorities will be able to hike that up by 0.1% or down approximately by 0.1%, depending on the need. And it sort of reinforces the notion that this actually will be a local property tax going to the local authority. It also makes it an awful lot harder for revenue to operate, because not only are they actually going to have to collect the tax, but then they're going to have to divvy it out to the respective local authorities. Mm. And I'm quite
sure
that
there will be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. So you think that there will be a standardising rather than local authorities vying with each other? I mean, it's possible that local authorities will say, we don't need all this money, we'll drop it by 15%. However, more than likely they're saying, we need more money, we'll increase it by 15%. And that, as you say, creates a nightmare for the revenue, different rates of extraction.
That's right. Pat, I'm quite sure that the priority, certainly in the first couple of years, will be to try and keep the system simple and that they won't want to get dragged into varying rates. I think that's why the market valuation is guaranteed effectively for 3.5 years, that you have the half year's property tax in 2013 and then 3 more years' worth of property tax where you can use the same valuation you came to in 2013.
We know that local authorities are probably going to be drawn more into this, and it will become more the local tax. At the moment, and for the foreseeable, it'll be centrally collected by revenue.
Yep.
But one suspects that once there's a database there, that, you know, in 5 or 6 years' time, they may vary its collection and therefore its disbursement.
Well, that's a hard one to speculate on. I mean, it's easy to overlook the fact that we already have a very substantial level of property tax in terms of commercial rates. And the local authorities were very, very good at collecting commercial rates, and are good at collecting commercial rates. We've now moved to a situation where a property tax isn't being collected by the local authorities, is being collected by revenue. I suppose those who, collect the money for the piper can call the tune in some instances.
OK, let's move on to the properties that might be exempt.
Yes.
What are they under the guidelines?
They're very, very few and far between. The general principle is that nothing is exempt, not by reference to its actual value, nor by reference to the kind of people who are in it. The kind of exemption that really exist have to do with properties which we wouldn't considered to be full residential properties at all. For example, it's an obvious one, but commercial properties are completely exempted from any charge here. And also to things like caravans, mobile homes, that sort of property. But outside of that, pretty much everything is caught that.
But unsold stuff. If a developer has 50 houses on his hands or her hands, have not sold them, they are exempt until they're sold.
Yes, but they're
so
exempt.
So he doesn't have to.
Yeah, they're exempt for practical purposes because there's nobody other than the developer actually owning them.
Yeah.
Once the property is taken into ownership by a household unit, then it becomes fully liable.
But there is an exemption. New and previously unused properties that are purchased between the 1st of January 2013 and the end of 2016 will be exempt until the end of 2016. That's a short-term exemption.
It's a short-term exemption. That's there to try and help stimulate the property market. It's a small incentive to say to people, look, if you're buying a new home, or if you're a first-time buyer buying a second-hand property, you're going to get a relief in 2013 and we're going to give you an exemption for 3 years just on the property tax. It could be regarded, for example, Pat, as maybe some small recompense for the abolition of mortgage interest relief at the end of this
year. Small enough, though, recompense.
It's small enough, but in these very difficult times, anything helps.
Now, deferral arrangements. Who can defer? And it's deferral until you die or until the property is sold, isn't it?
Well, this property tax is a bit like a toothache. I don't think it's ever going to go away until you finally extract it. Generally speaking, what is happening is that there's two income limits, 15,000 for a single person, 25,000 for a married couple. And if your income is below that, you won't be allowed to get away with the property tax, but you will be allowed to defer it until such time as you're in a position to pay it. That deferral threshold can be increased by reference to the amount of interest you're paying on your mortgage as well. But it's important to stress it's not any kind of firm relief from the property tax charge. You're still going to have to pay it, but you can pay it in the future.
And sometimes the two together.
Indeed. And that deferred tax will be accruing interest at a rate of 4%.
Okay, some comments coming in. John McGonigal in Derry. How will the revenue contact non-resident owners? I live in Northern Ireland and already paid the non-principal private residence charge via the NPPR website. So there may be people who don't bother, but who will, shall we say, remain invisible to the revenue commissioners.
Yeah, that presumably is why they have the powers now to contact the likes of Unpost. They have additional tracking powers in terms of ownership.
But we know we have double taxation agreements with the British authorities. Mm-hmm. I mean, can they pursue someone in Northern Ireland or in Britain for unpaid property tax?
Well, I think that's a very important question. It's quite clear from the proposed legislation that revenue will have all the powers that they have to collect income tax, for example, to collect the local property tax as well. The full range of information exchange, information gathering, all that kind of good stuff is hotwired into this new legislation. So they'll be able to go after that already.
Okay, we'll confirm something now. Nisha says, what if your house is under construction / renovation, not currently habitable, nor has it been for the last few years due to recession and lack of funding? Something that's in a hiatus, really.
Yeah.
Even if it's a renovation rather than a new build. If it's not habitable.
I don't know the answer to that, Pat, is a straight answer.
If it's a new build, not finished, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
my instinct would be that if a house isn't fit for habitation, it is not a property for the purposes of the local property tax, but I'd have to confirm that.
I run my own business for my own home, i.e. I use part of my house for my work. Can you ask your contributor how this will be dealt with?
It's quite clear that the exemption for commercial premises is only an exemption whereby the entire part of the building, the entire building is used for commercial purposes.
Right, that's clear. How are they going to value one-off housing in rural Ireland? That's from Patrick. I mean,
with difficulty, I think will be the answer there. That's a matter for the revenue. I'm not going to speculate on how they might go about doing it, but I'm sure they've got some method.
And final one here. The people who teach the revenue computers to talk to ESB, Bord Gáis and Unpost computers in relation to the property tax should be asked to teach welfare computers to talk to them too. That way we may be able to tax child benefit. That's just a comment. If the systems start talking to each other, a lot would be possible.
Yes, we saw what happened last January when the revenue computer systems were taught to speak to the social welfare pensions computer systems and the fallout from that. So, you know, it's all these things are possible and it's probably just a matter of time.
OK, one last thing. It's about the dates when the household charge goes by the wayside, the second home, holiday home tax, as it's called. What are the dates and how will people end up paying twice or even three times?
Okay. Well, the good news is that the household charge is abolished for 2013, and that's the end of the good news. There will still be pursuing the household charge, people who haven't paid the household charge for 2012. And there's a kind of a form of an amnesty that if you settle by April, your liability on the household charge will be capped at 130, but it will still be the responsibility of the local authorities to keep pursuing the tax. The new local property tax proper kicks in on the 1st of July. And at that point, any unpaid household charge will be converted into unpaid property tax. So if you haven't paid... The Revenue Commissioners go for it. So if you haven't paid your household charge in 2012, you haven't paid the 100 quid in 2012, it will be deemed to be an additional 200 quid in 2013 as part of your local property tax.
And it will start attracting more penalties as well.
It will start attracting penalties, interest and all the joy that revenue can bring to unpaid taxes.
But if you pay by April 130, that's it. Thank you. Goodbye.
That's it. Now, it is a capping of the interest and penalties. It's not a huge... relief, but it's there and it offers people some level of certainty.
What about the holiday home tax?
The holiday home tax, the non-principal private residence charge, as they call it, is going to be abolished with effect from the top of 2014. But for
so 20, that means people pay loads of taxes in 2013.
The local property tax on a second property, you'll be paying the local property tax on that for 6 months, but you'll be paying the non-principal private residence charge for the full year. And then for 2014, you'll only be paying the local property tax.
Okay, a couple of comments. Declan Alcock, deferral of payment of the property tax is going to cause family divisions down the road years after when the property eventually is sold and the thing has to be paid. Well, it'll be taken off the top. It shouldn't cause any divisions. It'll be what's left the family will have a row over.
Indeed, revenue will have first claim on any unpaid taxes.
I have not heard a justification yet from anyone why it is moral to charge property tax on properties in negative equity or upon which you've paid massive stamp duty. That's John and Slane. And that's a political and moral and ethical argument.
All forms of taxes are money with menaces. You know, that's the nature of the tax system. We pay taxes in whatever shape or form to fund government and local government activities. And whether or not it's moral is not really a part of the tax debate.
All taxes are money with menaces. I will remember that and I will use it the next time we have a Minister for Finance in here. Brian Keegan of Chartered Accountants of Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Pat.